The leg bone's connected to the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. Just as much as it is important for your bones to be connected, it's more imperative to be plugged into a local church. So do some stretching and check your reflexes. In episode 6, we will discuss the importance of getting connected to a local church body. Here at CCF, Christ's Contagious Community is gracious and fellowship is outrageous. Our weekly podcast is designed to inject joy and humor into your week while also providing information and encouragement to our friends at Christ Community Fellowship. We produce and record this podcast on our campus from our storage room studios, where our positive, persistent, patient, playful, perceptive, picky, persuasive, personal pastor, Tobin Curtis, is the host. The bumpy ride is over, the fasten seatbelt sign is off, and we're ready to reach for new heights, new adventures, and new inspiring content. Are you?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see. I didn't like perky.
So you got picky.
So you went picky.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that either. I'm not picky. I just...
Well, you were picky about perky, so...
I was picky about perky. That's just a weird word to use. I don't want to be described as, oh, he was a perky guy. It's just weird. But picky is not all that much
perky
better.
Perky doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. Picky doesn't sound
I don't know.
All that great.
I think I might fight somebody. Yeah. Stop. Hey, you're perky. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're dead.
Don't call me that.
Call me perky one more time.
Oh, well, welcome. Welcome to our CCF podcast, episode 6. We are actually going to dive into kind of more a topical situation here, a little round table with the three of us. And who knows, maybe you might get a phone call in the middle of it and join us as well. You never know what's going to happen on this podcast. So today we're sitting down and we're just discussing kind of ideas and thoughts, questions that maybe come around through church. Locally and just overall, universally, there's always some discussion in regards to the importance of being connected to a local church body. There we go. The importance of being connected to a local church body. In other words, being involved in a church near you that you can grow in and be discipled in. Because you know there's always that. I don't know if it's generational or if it's just a social kind of, I don't know, what do you call it? Just a wave of things where people just feel like, oh, you know, I can be a Christian. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I can do it on my own. I'm fine. I got my podcasts and I got my, you know, different things that I do and I'm fine that way. And a lot of people, you know, would say that, or I my church is, you know, on the mountaintop. And so I usually take a Sunday and I'll go to the golf course. That's, you know, where I meet God or out fishing or whatever. And so it's always those things. And there are always going to be those things that are going to draw us away from being connected to a local body. And so, I mean, this is kind of self-serving because I am a pastor at a church and I realize that, but you know, I think it is important. And we're going to have a little discussion in regards to that, with the three of us. So there, that's where we're headed anyway. I want to share and kind of what stirred it up in me a little bit is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit has come, the church is being born. Peter and John and the disciples are the apostles now, and they are the church is growing. And the coolest thing in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about how as the body grew, as the church grew, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I think that's just a beautiful picture of one of the church and how it was growing. But also just to kind of dive into our discussion, I want people to understand that in the New Testament, becoming a Christian meant entering into a, not only fellowship with God, but with God's people. Coming to Christ meant coming to his church, and the idea of a believer living independently of the church was totally foreign to the New Testament. And I don't know if the two of you guys have experienced the same, maybe discussions with others or folks about, you know, well, I don't really, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. And kind of if you've run into that, what your discussions have led to or whatever. But
well, I've heard the whole I am the church. Oh, yeah. I don't need to go to church. Mm-hmm. I am the church. Yep. You know, I'm just going to be the church. Mm-hmm. And most of those people that I have seen that do that, it's more of an excuse to not have to go do something or be a part of something.
Yeah.
And they end up falling.
Yeah.
Like I personally, like when I was like, no, I'm not going to go to church. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't need to be there. You know, God's all around. I can go play golf or not that I play golf, but go do any of those things, you know, on a Sunday.
What do you do?
I don't do anything. Let's be honest. That's what I do. Yeah. But yeah, you end up falling into your bad habits and falling into who you were, not who you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the argument just continued to go. Like, I mean, people dig in when it comes to that.
Right, right.
It's more of a pride thing and a selfish. I think it's very selfish, a very self. Preserving, like I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
Well, it's kind of too like having a workout buddy. If you have a workout buddy, you're more likely to go to the gym and stay on your regimen because you have someone that you're accountable to.
Sure.
Yeah. Going to church, you have somebody. I mean, there's at least one person in the congregation that you can relate to, that you have commonality with, that you can associate with, and then you become attached to them.
Yeah.
And you have someone that you feel accountable, not really accountable to, but you want to be there to see them, kind of see how their week was going and things like that. So there's that connection piece of being connected in a church, to be redundant.
Yeah, right.
And without that, you're fighting this battle alone. And like Josh just said, I mean, you get worn down over time and you can't fight those battles.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, you know, Paul writes many times in many of the different letters in the New Testament about how we are to, you know, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, love one another, forgive one another. Well, you can't do any of the one another's if you're not with one another, you know, and that's kind of the whole idea. There was like that concept was just that we are together, we are going to be together, and so in that is how we grow, you know, and when sometimes you know your Lord's working in you on patience. He gives you a brother or a sister in the Lord and church that is really going to try that patience.
Because iron sharpens iron.
That's right. Iron sharpens iron. And so we need that. And it encourages us to grow. And sometimes we just need a good accountability person to just say, hey, you know, like, what's going on? You know, I can tell things aren't going great or things aren't going well. So sometimes it helps to have someone to kind of give you a little swift kick in the butt.
Well, I mean, and to go back to, like, Paul, Paul's letters were not to individual people.
Right.
They were not written to this person or this person. They were written to the church throughout, you know, Corinthians, Ephesians, Romans, all the way through. And then Revelation, then John addresses where Jesus addresses churches.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't address the singular. He addresses that body of believers.
Yep.
So to say that, hey, you know, well, I am the church. Well, you want the letter from, you know, Smyrna? Or
which one do you want? Yeah.
Right.
And even
Laodicea, you know?
Even the ones that, like, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they're written to individuals, but they were the leaders of the churches. You know, like, it was all about, here, this is how I want you to lead the church. And so, yeah, it was a big deal, and it is a big deal. But it's Christianity is never meant to be, you know, lived in a bubble. We're not lone rangers out here. We're a family. And,
and even Jesus said to Peter when he said, you're going to be, you know, you're no longer going to be Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, the rock.
Yeah.
And on this, I'm going to build my church.
Right.
Not on this, you're going to go be by yourself.
And, right.
Because Peter could have done that, gone and hang out by himself out on the water.
Yep.
But he didn't do that.
No, it's true. There's another passage I think speaks of, I guess, as Matt introduced, the, you know, the leg bones connected to the knee bone. But there is, you know, we are the body. I mean, you know, the church has been called the body of Christ. It's been, we have the temple of the Lord. We're the family of God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he specifically, Paul gives us this example of us being the body. And he says, now you are the body of Christ, speaking of the church, and individual members of it. So there are, you know, we don't just lose our individuality. We're actually individual members, and we're brought into the body of Christ. And God has appointed, he says in verse 28, he says, and God has appointed these in the church. And I want you to pay attention to these that he has appointed in the church. He says, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, and various kinds of tongues, which I think is important for us to understand that, you know, when you want, when you need, you know, the direction or miracle or healing, you know, yeah, God can heal individuals outside of the church. But it says specifically God gave these to the church, which, and I shared this earlier with them before we started this podcast, but, you know, pulling a page out of Dan Clausen's book of old church fathers, Irenaeus in 180 said, it is said in the church, God has set apostles, prophets, teachers, and all the other means through which the Spirit works. Those who do not join themselves to the church are not partakers of these things. Rather, they defraud themselves of life. For where the church is, there is the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is the church and every kind of grace. Which I thought was pretty astute of obviously he was much wiser than all of us. But the whole idea of that's the point of the church, is that we receive life. You know, we get connected with one another. God has given in the church different people with different gifts to encourage and build up the body of Christ. And if you're not a part of it, you do. You lack. Right. You struggle on your own. And God's like, you don't need to do this. Like, get connected.
Yeah. And to go off the whole body part of it too, like, it's important to not only just be a part of a congregation, but to prayerfully be a part of a congregation, yeah, or a church body, because, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, five-headed monsters running around there,
right,
where everybody wants to be the leader and they think that that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, saying, okay, where's my place? Where's my part of the body? You know, yeah. I can't remember what scripture it is where it says, can one be the, you know, can two be the eye?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Yeah, it's in that 1 Corinthians 12, the same line. Yeah.
So the
head can't say to the, you know, the leg, oh, I don't need you.
Right, like, I don't need you. Right. So then we just jump into a congregation, mm-hmm, sometimes and be like, oh, yeah, I like what this is, but is that where God's leading you?
Right.
And it's okay that's maybe not where he's leading you, yep, at this place, but there is a place for you to fit.
Right.
And if you're not there, then you're not allowing that body to be full.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's, I think, where the churches in general end up lacking, is because people are just like, well, I don't need to be there. And they don't realize the importance of them
absolutely
being there.
Yeah. 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 And I think you know, one of the things I love about CCF is that, you know, we have, it's over time, you know, people are growing, you know, there's all kinds of different people that come to our church in different various levels of their walk with the Lord. Some are brand new, some are seeking the Lord or seeking something, some are brand new. And then there are those who've been walking for the Lord for a while, and there's those mature Christians, those fathers of you know, of the faith kind of thing that are here. And you know, with all of us together, it there's that, you know, that connection, that growth that takes place. You know, like, I mean, I'd take this, you know, interpret it just maybe a little different in the fact that, yeah, you know, a mature Christian can't say, oh, I don't need this baby Christian, right? Like, because a lot of times, like, someone might come in and they don't know anything. And, mm-hmm, like, ah, oh, you know, it's like, but we can't say, you know, the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Like, believe me, every church needs brand new believers in their church. That's what brings life. That's what fires up discipleship. You know, and yeah, you got to deal with,
promotes that growth.
Oh, absolutely. You got to deal with all the stuff that comes in with it. And
I'd be super happy if I had, like, hair growth.
Me
new,
too.
New hair. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm super excited about,
whoa,
that. Yeah.
It also challenges the way you look at things too. I mean, you liken it back to what I always like to go back to, and all of the similarities, or similes, I should say, with with Jesus comparing things or comparing us to children.
Yeah.
And you look at how when a child starts to see the world for the first time and the questions they ask, the way they see it through their eyes typically isn't how we look at it
right.
through our eyes.
Right. Exactly.
And so like the questions that a new Christian or a person who's, you know, contemplating faith
yep.
and the questions they're asking, it really sharpens our faith and our knowledge, because sometimes you're like, oh, I've kind of fallen asleep a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I need to do some research that I can provide these answers.
Right.
But also like, wow, that's really cool. I never thought of it that yeah. way. I just took it at face value.
Yep.
Because like for myself, I was raised in church. I grew up going to Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study, and I know every flannel board story that could ever be told.
Yes.
So I mean, like, it's just a nice, refreshing
yeah.
way to like re-engage yourself into the faith.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. As a person yeah. that's...
It makes me think of like a lot of jobs. Like you go into a job mm-hmm. and you have those people that have been there for 20 plus years that have just been working the job, doing the thing. And you get a new guy that comes in that's just ready to go.
Right.
And it does one of two things. It either irritates the crap out of everybody
right.
or spurs them to do better.
Yeah.
And I really believe that that's like what that does. Like when you see that growth, like I know for myself sitting down there, you know, when we're playing and when we're looking down and we see people worshiping,
yeah.
you know, just it spurs you on. It gives yep. you that hope that like,
right.
like, I can't remember if I said it to you, like it was like this is what we're seeing it happen. Like yeah. we're watching yeah.
oh, absolutely.
It yep. happen before our very eyes. Mm-hmm. And it just instills so much more faith as yep. you watch right. that.
Yeah, yeah. You watch people who, you know, were nowhere, had no hope. You know, they're coming into church, and over a matter of months, sometimes you know weeks, but over a matter of months, they're you know, you look out there as you're worshiping, and you know they are fully engaged, mm-hmm. and it's yeah. like wow, there's a transformation taking place right there, and it does it spurs you on, and you get excited,
and as you watch them start reaching out to others that are just coming in,
right.
it's like, okay, this is the body yeah. working. This is right. this yeah. is how this is supposed to work, and why yeah. people would want to miss out on that.
Well, we've had such, you know, even the last couple of years, we've had such growth in really new believers coming in, and it's just been like someone in their family got saved, and they're excited, and so then they've just shared that with mm-hmm. their family, and all of a sudden you got, you know, you have groups of people coming. Because this person's life, who they knew, has completely changed and transformed. Like, all right, whatever they got, I want.
Right.
And
right.
like, well, come here, and you know, and which has been amazing. And then so we sit back and we're like, wow, this is wild. And I think you know, it's fun. And I think it also, as you guys talked about, you know, the work. I mean, there's two different responses. I think, like you said, you know, some people. I mean, I know some folks who've worked at the mill or gone to the mill, tried working at the mill, and they went in and they're like gung-ho, ready to work. And the people have been there like, what are you doing?
Right.
like, right. Just yeah. be quiet. Like, no.
This is not how this works.
Right. And they drove them. Like, they drove them right out. Like, but I came to work. And like, no, that's not how this works here. Yeah. Or maybe like in school, like you get the new teacher every year. Right. And
yeah.
you know, they bring in their new ideas.
Yeah, their teacher pay teacher yeah, accounts.
And you look at them and you're like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait till yeah. these kids.
Yeah.
I remember in the union.
Sucked your soul out of you.
the union was like that. Like when yeah. when I went down to Bath and went down there, and I was like, all right, you know,
yeah.
when I first got as an outside machinist, I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I would go in and put my head down and go to work. And people were like, you know, this is union.
Right. What are you doing?
Right.
These ships get built by boredom. That's yeah. how they get built. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, man. Not on my watch.
That's right. We're going to build. We're going to do. We're going to work today.
Right. And yeah. so, yeah, you get those, that two different.
Yep.
But then you get the exciting part, you know, yeah. that people get excited right. about, which is awesome. Right.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's so exciting for me to be able to see and be a part of here is how our church, I mean, it's the only church I go to, but our church is different. And it starts at the top. And it's...
Are you saying I'm different?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yes.
But it's the philosophy and the mentality that you bring that creates acceptance. I mean, in the early 2000s, you had a lot of the songs. I mean, like, I remember one especially, like, Casting Crowns. the stained glass masquerade and the judgmental glances in the pews and stuff like that. And, you know, saying churches should be looking like hospitals, but,
right.
you know, it's really, you just see pious people in there. Our church doesn't look that way.
No.
And so, I mean, it's awesome to see, like, people are here, people are getting on fire for the Lord, people want to ask questions, and you're seeing growth, like you just talked about, at all different levels. People that have been walking for a long time are growing. People that are just becoming new Christians are growing. And, I mean, like, our Defending the Faith course that we're having, I mean, there's what, like, 80, 85 people there last week.
Yeah.
And people, like, they just want answers. They want to be around each other. Yeah. And they want to be involved, and they want to get connected. And that's awesome to see. But the other thing for me, and I try not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like we're getting prepared for something big.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so it just, for me, it's like I need to be more mindful about studying, about learning, about being connected, because as this continues to go and God continues to use us, the target's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we need to also prepare for that. And the way to do that is... Come on. by being connected.
You're doing so well. Trying to keep it under control. Yeah. I think, you know, the I don't know, conspiracy theory idea, but it there has been a definite change in the atmosphere in regards to, even since like 2000. I think people, there was just been such a, the world has become so shaky that anyone who had any idea, like, okay, they're like, I need some answers. I need some, like, what's going on? What, you know, they've turned to all kinds of things. And ultimately, you know, hopefully a number of them have turned to, like, okay, well, the church has got to be the one that's going to tell us what the truth is, like, what's going on. And I think we've seen a lot of that, even within the growth of the church here, is a lot of people who were just like, what is going on in the world? It's going crazy. Yeah. I need some answers. I need an anchor. And they found, you know, as long as, you know, and as long as the church is preaching the word of God and not, you know, making up their own, you know, feel good gospel, I think, you know, that's what people are looking for. They don't, had enough of that, and people have gotten sick of that, and they've realized that it doesn't, it's not the answer. It's like,
well, the whole world itches their ears.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And that's like you said, they're sick of it. They want to hear actual real truth. People like, as a kid, you know when you're being told the truth,
right,
or when you're not. And that's, everybody wants the truth. They don't want to be lied to. Everybody thinks that they need to be lied to, but no, they want the truth.
Yes, absolutely. And I think part of being connected to a local body, and I say local because, you know, there is, with social media, with the internet, with everything, you can listen to every pastor in the nation around the world, and you can get all kinds of teaching, and you can listen to, you know, Spotify and YouTube, and you can find all kinds of, and there are some really good communicators of the word. There's a very, very good teachers of the word of God, which is wonderful. Like, that is truly a blessing. I worry for the people but that's all, like, that's their church. And you know, I warn folks, like, okay, that's great. You can learn and you can get excited and you can get some really good teachings. I mean, I have some folks that I love to listen to. I love to listen to their sermons and where they're going, you know, but ultimately, they're not my pastor, right? Like, you can listen to all these people. You may love, you know, John Piper or John MacArthur or David Jeremiah or whatever. There's these people you hear on the radio, but they're not your pastor. You know, like, there's a whole different level of that. Like, that they don't know you. You're not a part of their local church, so they don't know you. They're not familiar with you. They're not praying for you by name. You know, there's a lot of things that you miss if he's like, well, I just get all of my, I get my church online, or I get my church from the radio, and, you know, and yeah, they may be excellent teachers, but, you know, they don't know you, they don't shepherd you, they don't think about or pray for you, they don't spend any time with you in meetings, they haven't come to your house and sat down and had coffee or prayed with you or you know, grieved with you when you're losing a loved one, or you know, like, there, that's you miss that part. And I think people felt that initially when there was like the COVID shutdown, and there was like, oh, like, yeah, okay, all the churches, we all quickly became, you know, online churches, and that was it managed. It was okay for a moment, but you know, everyone around here, to you know, it was part of the church here, was like, oh, we miss being together. There is a definite, you know, you gotta be together. Like there's the physical being,
that human interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And they miss that. And you know, people get comfortable just, well, I heard a great sermon online and that was good. And it's like, yeah, but you know, who's praying for you? Who's encouraging you? Who's, you know, when, I mean, honestly, like when people come to the church here, I mean, our sermons, the sermons that are constructed are put in, are prayed over. Like, you know, my prayer in, you know, when I'm going through, we're going through Philippians right now. And, but it, even in that, it's like, okay, God, like my prayer is, God, what do you want? What's the message you want to get across to your people here at Christ Community Fellowship, right? Like what do you want to say to them? And it's very specific, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it might be good. And someone from, you know, Arizona could listen. And it's like, oh, that was really good. But they miss the fact that, you know, this is for us. This is for our people. And you know, and I love that. And I know that God does that because you always hear, you know, afterward or whatever, like, what, did you just follow me around all week this week? You know, like, right. Like how come you're preaching this? And we don't, like, no, but we pray and we know, you know, we know what's going on in the, you know, in our body. We know right. The struggles. We know what's happening. We know what, you know, or the Lord knows what you need to hear. And so you miss that if you're not connected to a local body.
Right.
You know, you just miss that whole aspect of it.
Right, because it's that intimate connection.
Right.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, when COVID hit, tried to do the online church thing. Mm-hmm. And for a couple months, Sunday morning, live stream. Yep. But then figured out, hey, it's just on here.
Right.
I don't have to do it right at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I could do it after football's done.
Yeah.
Or in between football games.
There you go.
And then I could do this on Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
Tuesday didn't work for me this week. I can do it on Thursday afternoon.
Right.
And then it became, I don't need to listen to it this week.
Right.
And then 2 years went by.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And it's like, whew. And again, I mean, I said this before, but going back to the children.
Yeah.
My kids were like, Dad, we haven't been to church in like 2 years.
Yeah.
We need to go back.
Wow.
And so then like we walked through the doors and it was like, well, I haven't been coming here for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw you that first week we came back and I was like, I'm home.
Yeah.
Because it's what it feels like when you walk through the doors here.
Yep.
And it's all because of what you were just talking about, that whole spiel you just gave, exactly how you feel when you come in.
Yeah.
And you just feel connected.
Right.
And it's...
And you miss that.
Yeah.
Like just online or whatever. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, you don't have that.
But yeah, it leads right into Hebrews chapter 10, right? Mm-hmm. Where it talks about, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, okay? And it is, I mean, mm-hmm. Not going to church is just as much a habit as going to church, right? You know, and it's like, oh, okay. And it says, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And it's like, it's so easy to not, you know, to fill that gap of 10 to 11:30 or whatever on a Sunday morning. It's like, yeah, I can, you know, you could, if you don't make it a habit, it can quickly be filled with all kinds of other things. The world's got all kinds of ideas for you. You know, you can mow your lawn. You can go play golf. You can do whatever, you know, depending on, go skiing, do whatever.
Right.
Like, and then next thing you know, 2 years go by. It's like, whoa,
right.
I haven't been in church.
Like, right.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. Well, speaking of that, and speaking of church, you want to give us a little promo? What's going on coming up here in a week or two?
Absolutely. Do you need a break from those kids yet? At CCF, we understand that some time away from your kids in the summer is a good thing. Therefore, we are proud to announce our summer outreach program. We'll be in Bingham on Monday nights, July 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th, in the park behind the old Quimby Elementary School. Our team will be in Madison on Tuesday nights, July 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, in our CCF parking lot on Maple Street. Each night will be filled with fun games, inflatables, food, and an opportunity to learn more about the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. They will run from 6 to 7:30 p.m., that's an hour and a half, not 13 and a half hours. And make plans to join us and find out how you can get involved with CCF's Summer of Hope.
Yeah.
I still want parents to think we're taking them the whole day.
We got them all day. You can drop them off at 6 o'clock in the morning. No, thank you. You'll find them in the dugout somewhere.
My two would have been out there.
Summer is long. I wanted to share one other verse just because, it does speak to, it's kind of wrapping this part up, and we got to make a couple phone calls as well. So Proverbs 18:1, it says, "One who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound wisdom." The Tobin Curtis version is, "Not going to church is dumb." It's important. Like it's important to be connected. You know, it's part of, quite honestly, it's part of how we find our identity. You know, we find our identity and purpose in being connected. God has created us to find our passion and our purpose in helping others. You know, it's always, God's kingdom is always upside down. So, it's better to give than to receive. You know, the world would say the opposite, but the world also says, oh, you need to go, on a 30-day trek into the wilderness to find yourself. And God says, no, you find yourself by pouring yourself into other people and being around other people. And that's what the church is. And it is, you see that as, it's kind of fun to watch people as they get connected to the body here. And they begin to serve. And they might serve from someplace like, oh, that's not for me. But then all of a sudden they serve somewhere else and like, wow, I love this. And it becomes a passion of theirs. And then like, I really enjoy doing this and I really want to pursue this. And what else can I do? And that's how you find yourself. It's how you find what God has poured into you. Like, yeah, I gave you these interests and these desires and I want to use them for the kingdom of God. And you get to experience that in the church.
Yeah. We had talked about that last night.
Yeah.
The same thing. Like, God, because I'm naturally in myself the go away, be by myself person. Yep. Like, I really isolate. Mm-hmm. And God has really, especially this past year, has not allowed that.
Yeah.
Every time I try to, I'm like, nah, we're not going to let that happen. So it becomes serving that is the fulfilling and not the going away.
Right.
So I find more, like that one day that I took to go fishing, on that Sunday, drove me up a tree because I couldn't be here knowing that this is where I needed to be. Yeah. So it was bad enough that I had the sermon going on my phone through my Bluetooth speakers while I'm trying to fish because I know I felt like I needed to be here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even feel like actual, like I can take a vacation, even though I... And I brought up a verse to kind of go along with that. Psalm 133, it says, "How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity."
Yeah.
And to kind of go off of what you've been preaching for this whole past, you can't live in unity if we're not together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it says live together. So we need to live together, to work together, to serve together.
Absolutely.
With that one mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak to each other, like, hey.
I appreciate that being spoken to. I want people to be able to speak into who I am and
feedback. I think it's I think it's important. We don't see our blind spots, right? And granted, sometimes we don't want to, but when you're in community with other people and you have that relationship with some trusted people of a church, doesn't have to be a big church, but somebody who can speak into your life, say, hey, right there, that's an issue, and you need to begin to work on that. You're like, whoa, we get all worked up, and people don't like that, and some people, like, that's why they leave churches, because they don't want to be called out on their stuff, don't you want to change? Don't you want to be better? Don't you want to become more Christ-like? And, we're not going around making fun of people,
You just need to have this disclaimer that this does not give you... free reign to just come up and say how wrong we are.
Hey, I don't like the way you dress. But, honestly.
I'm done with grace and love and in love,
Like, I honestly appreciate people who can speak and say, hey, you have broccoli in your teeth. Like, I don't want to walk around all day with a hunk of broccoli in my teeth, and I hate that. You go home, you're like, you brush your teeth. I'm like, man, that's been in my teeth. How long has that been in my teeth? And everybody's seen it. But, if you get someone who cares about you and loves you.
I don't say it because it's funny.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. So I won't go to you and say, hey, they got anything in my teeth.
I'll be like, no.
I go to my wife, I smile a little funny. I'm like, anything in my teeth? I'm like, no, you're good. Okay, thanks. I just want people to know that. Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
And honestly, if my zipper was down ever, someone please, privately, like just tell me. Like,
not stand up in the middle.
Like, hey, your zipper's down. I'm like, your zipper's down. There are some serious things that I, you know, like, it takes a body to tell, like, hey, come on, put yourself together, man. Jeez. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, we have, we're going to make a phone call. You ready? We're going to try this out. We tried it once before, and it was a little funky, but we're going to call somebody, see where they're at. I think it's a somebody's, ooh.
Well, that's up there now.
Wow, it's somebody's birthday, isn't it? Yeah. She's 18.
Hello?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday. I didn't even realize it was your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How old are you going? How old are you today?
18.
You're 18 years old. Well, no one knows who we're talking to. This is Joanna. And we are calling you because, are you ready for some trivia?
Sure.
Because it's your 18th birthday, and we're going to, like, you know what? Why not call someone and harass them? And hey, give you an opportunity to answer some trivia. So, all right, Matt Dyer's got some trivia questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Don't worry, we won't beep too hard on you.
That's right.
All right, the first one is multiple guess.
Ooh.
Okay, the question is, it's actually a statement. God spread humanity out across the earth by mixing up their their thoughts, B, language, C, political views, or D, Starbucks orders.
Whoa.
Think about if you traveled around the world.
You chose the person that just started coming to church to answer all these church questions.
No.
Well, no.
You're good.
Think about if you went to Spain.
If you went to Spain,
what would be different? Their thoughts, language, political views, Starbucks orders, or if you went to France or Germany or the U.S. of A.
Like their language, I don't.
Language, that's correct.
There you go.
Yes.
Good answer. That comes from the book of Genesis when the people were building a tower to Babel and everyone had the same language. And then God came down and he changed everyone's language. And then they couldn't understand each other and they all split and started their own thing. See, this is very educational for you. At 18, you're going to learn some awesome things.
It's also why they call it baby babble.
Oh,
wow, that's perfect.
All right, question number...
And this is... Okay.
Question number two, are you ready?
I guess so.
How many days and nights did it rain when Noah was on the ark?
Ooh.
You know what you should be doing right now? You know what you should be doing?
What should we be doing?
Having Josh message me the answers to every single question you ask me.
Oh, I see.
Well, I mean, how's your math skills? I mean, 8 times 5 is...
Yeah, they're pretty good. You just thought of...
They're pretty good. All right, multiple choice. Did it rain...
Wait, I got it, guys.
You do? What is it? What? You have it? Noah, it rained how many days and nights?
How many days of the 40 days and nights did it rain?
What did you just say?
Huh? I said, how many days of the 40 days and nights did it rain?
40 days.
Yes!
And 40
very
nights.
Good, yes.
Yes, you yes. got it.
I already said that.
You
must have broken up then.
Wow. That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. We're learning.
Am I done?
Oh, no.
So tell me this. Tell me this, Mrs. 18-year-old. Like, what are you looking forward to? You turn 18. Like, I can't even remember. What is it? You can vote? Is that the big deal now at 18?
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one of the only things.
That's one of the only things. Well, hey, that's awesome. We've got a, you know, it's a big political year coming up. We got presidents to vote for, so. Get yourself registered.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, you get to be a part of that. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Exciting.
Well, awesome.
Yeah,
well,
I'm an adult.
Yeah, you're an adult. Yes, that's incredible. You've graduated from high school. You're turning 18. This is wonderful.
You know what comes with adulthood? Paying your own bills.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Ouch.
Oh.
Ow. That's rough. That's rough. Well, birthday girl, we want to wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We thank you for playing along with us. And we will
Oh, you're welcome.
We will see you later on.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hang up before she says something inappropriate.
Right. I didn't even have the button ready.
Like, oh no. All right. Well, you know, these trivia things have been throwing people off.
They have been.
That's just, yeah. Yeah. Mike was,
I mean, maybe the next one I just say, like, out of the 18 championships the Celtics have won, what was the number of championship they just won? Maybe they'd get that. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think we should still stick with the Bible ones.
We should. Yeah. They're good.
Maybe people will start brushing up if we say, look, we're going to start calling.
I put trivia up there every five-minute countdown. We had a good trivia up there.
Yeah.
Well, we could do that. We could pay attention. You know, redo the trivia from Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, people will have to pay attention.
I mean, do we try one more person?
Yeah, who do you got? You got someone?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have. Oh, yeah?
Code Red.
I need. You got a number? 207.
Oh, yeah. I can't say
that out loud. No. Area code 207. Sorry. Forgot we're being recorded.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. So I should probably just show it to you.
555.
Oh, 1-800.
I need my glasses. Wow.
Druidia. Funny. She doesn't look Jewish.
All right, cool. All right, this will be interesting. Calling. Oh, phone call number two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're getting, trivia?
Trivia.
Nice.
Hello.
Hey, Wayne Dyer, how are you today?
Good, Pastor. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. It's a beautiful day. And I am sitting here with a couple of good friends of mine and one of your children, actually. And we want
Matthew.
Yes, Matthew.
What are you doing, Dad? Are you running away from a bear?
I know.
I'm carrying a propane tank.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
You're right in the middle of it.
Do you need help? Because it sounds like you need help.
I'll put the propane tank down.
Step away from what the it is. Tank.
So you called me to bash me. Okay, got it.
No, you're good.
No, you're good. We called you for some trivia. Are you ready to answer some church Bible trivia? We want to see how good you are.
No. No, because I'm
Dad, easy language.
Huh?
Easy with the language.
I hear somebody, you know? Yeah. Am I or two?
I don't know what you're saying. Okay. All right. Well, listen. Have you put the propane tank down?
I have.
Okay. All right. We don't want to.
Now I'm standing in my garage.
Okay. Oh, all right. Here we go. We have two trivia questions for you. Are you ready? Maybe three. Do you know how many we got? Okay. Let's see,
after this, I'm blocking your calls, right?
It's funny. That's what everybody says.
I know. They all say that we'll have no friends after this.
I feel like this is a great conversation. I'm not getting any Christmas presents this year.
Okay, Matthew. Right.
No, you're not.
All right. So this first one's a multiple guess.
Okay.
Okay. I'm 50-50. Okay, I'll take it.
No, it's actually 25%, but it's okay. God spread humanity out across the earth by mixing up their A, thoughts, B, language, C, political views, or D, Starbucks orders.
Boy, I'm gonna have to go with the Starbucks orders.
I see.
Maybe language. I don't know.
Language. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go with this one. Okay. I feel fairly confident you might get this one right.
Oh my word.
How many days and nights did it rain when Noah was on the ark?
Ooh.
Oh man. It's not a multiple choice, huh?
No, that was not multiple.
What happened to them? What happened to them? 50 days and 50 nights?
Ooh.
I was going with that. That's
cool.
Here's my analogy. Yeah. I was going with that 50-50 rule.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're close. You're 10 away.
Not bad.
Oh, 60, okay.
No, you went the wrong 10.
No, the other way, the other way.
Oh, well, you didn't say which way.
I was giving you a 50-50, see how you're talking about it. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that would be 40 days and 40 nights.
Yep. Maybe we stop at 2.
Yeah, 2 is good. Yeah, 2 is good because, yeah, I don't want to be blocked. I don't want to be blocked by Wayne. I'm sorry, Wayne. They coerced me into this. But
that's a.
thank you for
who
your.
Who keeps hitting that buzzer? That'd be.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the laughs, and be careful with that propane.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Goodbye.
If you see a mushroom, down by my house,
okay,
I'm gonna slap him when I see him.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Have a good day.
Hey.
Oh man, this is awesome.
Oh, that was perfect. Those were the perfect beeps right there. That was hilarious. Yeah. Oh man. See, and that's the joy of being connected to a body, a local yes. church body.
You don't get that anywhere else.
You don't.
We can embarrass the crap out of anybody.
That's right.
And it also demonstrates why you need to remain proficient with Bible stories.
That's right. Yes. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, I will tell you this. I realized many years ago that as new believers came in, I remember there was a lady came in. She brand new, didn't know any Bible stories, and I, you know, you assume too much when, especially preaching. Yep. But they're like, I was just making reference to Noah or Moses or whatever, and not realizing she had no idea where I was going with that. And so it was interesting because she actually was bold enough to come up and say, I don't know, like you referenced this person. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep.
So it's always in the back of my mind now, like, okay, if I'm going to use an example from the Bible, especially like an Old Testament Bible, encounter or whatever, I it's like, okay, I'm going to have to explain like what actually took place there so that people can catch up, and which, you know, is part of growing, which is good, you know, because you try to assume too much and people miss out the whole point. Like, man, that was a really good point if they knew actually what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, we could get the flannel board back out, and instead of doing announcements, I could do a quick 5-minute flannel board lesson every week.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I think we still have it. I'll dig it out of the attic.
Yeah, I could do voices and everything.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I like that. We may have to do that. Yeah.
Josh looks excited.
It looks like we're going to wrap this thing up. So let's do that before we come up with any other crazy ideas.
All right. Hurry up.
All right. Come join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service at 43 Maple Street, right here in Madison. Or join us online from our CCF YouTube live stream channel. Our Regeneration and Parents of Addicted Loved Ones support group meets Mondays at 6 p.m. Our Kids Life and Junior High group meets Sunday mornings during our morning service. Check-in begins at 9:45. We look forward to seeing you. Join us when you can.